By faith, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets wrought great things for the Lord. It's something also we can do if only we have faith. And faith is something that is so missing in the life of the Christian, in the life of the church today. We are living in a very sinful, wicked, unbelieving, and adulterous generation. And we see the church today, by and large, falling away from the faith, being very faithless. And once upon a time, churches that began well, that knew the Lord Jesus Christ, believed in His Word, today have become synagogues of Satan. We're living in such a time. The Lord has come back very soon. Judgment is near. And when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? It's a rhetorical question. Very, very little faith. What kind of Christians are we? Are we faithful Christians that are full of faith? Or are we faithless? Faithless Christians. Only paying lip service to the Lord, but then there is no life at all. In our Christian way of living and manner of life, faith is so important. And what is faith? I'm sure as you have gone through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, you would by now know what faith is all about. In fact, faith has many, many different aspects, like a diamond, different facets. I remember when I was a student in FEBC and was studying Calvin's Institute under Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, who had a bridge Calvin's Institute, and we came to the doctrine of faith. And Calvin had such rich teaching on what faith is all about. Many, many aspects to faith. It's like a diamond. And so we are told to draw a diamond with all the facets and then write down in every facet an aspect of faith. It's a beautiful thing. And it's not important for, not enough time for us to cover what faith is all about in just a matter of an hour. You can take a whole semester, 2 credit hour course, 30 lecture hours just to deal with the matter of faith. So many aspects to it. But it's something we must know and must have. And it's most in its most foundational level. What is faith? Faith is simply not trusting in ourselves or anyone else, but believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. Now that's the most basic. And also another basic thing about faith is this. Faith is simply believing and taking God at His word without question, without doubt, without criticizing the word, but simply believing and trusting what it says. I don't need any external proof. The proof that comes from God's word is good enough. God says it. That settles it. I believe it. No further argument. Now that is faith. Do we have this kind of a faith? How we need to live by faith and not by sight. And verses 32 and following, it's a further exposition of what we read in verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. If we want to please God, what must we have? And in verse 6, we read very clearly, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is what He says He is in His Word. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking God at His Word. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do we have this kind of a faith? We have studied already many examples, right? From chapter 11, and now we have the final few names given to us in verse 32. So we will look at the names that are mentioned here. They are interesting figures of the Old Testament, and there are things we can learn from them. And here we have a list of names. There are four judges, right? Four judges, namely Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. These are judges of Israel. And then there's one king, David, and then one prophet, Samuel. Right. So these examples for us, what can we learn from them about faith? Firstly, we have Gideon. Those of us who have gone through Sunday school would know the story of Gideon very well. Was Gideon a man of faith? Indeed he was. And the Lord used him to fight against the Midianites and to protect the nation of Israel from the Midianites. And you can read about his story from Judges 6 to 9. And in the fight, in the battle against the Midianites, Gideon had how many men? Can you all remember? Just 300. A very, very small army. And the Lord wanted him to use only 300 men against how many? Against 135,000. 135,000 Midianites fell before just 300 men. 300 men of Gideon. How was this possible? Only by faith. And Gideon never argued with God. He just simply followed what God said. You just pick these 300. And I will show you that it's not by your might or your power or your intelligence, but it is I, my power, my spirit that will go with you and before you and will give you the victory. So that all glory might go to God's name. And this serves as an example for us. You know, there's also another famous historical event where 300 defeated a huge army. Remember the Spartans? 300 Spartans against 1 million Persians. So you say, well, it's also 300 Spartans against 1 million. And they became heroes of Greece. You go to Greece today, the last pilgrimage to the Bible lands, we went to Greece, and they have erected a monument in memory of these Spartans, led by Leonidas. But the thing is this, although they were heroic figures, 300 versus 1 million Persians, did they win the battle? No, they lost. All right. They were exalted for their bravery, for their courage, but they lost. But over here is quite different. 300, they didn't lose. They won. They had the victory. And they slew 135,000. So this tells us how faith how faith is the victory. Yes, we in our life here on earth, we may face many foes and many enemies. The devil and the demons. There are many of them. And then this world at large, which is antichrist, against the scriptures. And we want to live a holy and godly life in this corrupted and sinful world. It is not easy. Very difficult. Many pressures, many stresses, many trials, many temptations that will attack us and try to rob us of our testimony. How are we going to fight all these spiritual battles? Not with worldly energy, not with human intelligence. Don't think that we are strong. Don't use human methods. If my enemy is 100,000, I must prepare an army, right, 10 times bigger. Then we think we'll win. No, it's not by human strength, but spiritual. By faith, believing in the Lord, trusting in His word, going by what is right and true in God's word. And if you are one with God, you have the majority who can defeat and fight against God. And if you believe in the Lord, trust in Him, believe in His word, don't compromise the faith, don't depart from the word. What God says, you preach, you teach, you live by, you obey, and then you defend. And although the whole world may stand against you, you can be sure if you are on God's side, God will be on your side and you will win. And how we thank God in church history, we have such a man, Athanasius. And in those days, he was battling a heresy called Arianism. And Arianism, the arch heretic, Arius, said Jesus is not 100% God. Jesus is only similar to God, but not the same as God. And today we have modern Arians, and they are the Jehovah's Witnesses. And in those days, Arius was very popular. He's very eloquent. Very charming man. A lot of people followed him. And Athanasius was defending the faith. Arius is teaching error. Don't follow. And there are those who tried to discourage Athanasius. Athanasius, why do you go doing this? Why do you keep exposing Arius? Look, everybody likes him. How can he be wrong? Majority are for him. You are only alone. The whole world is against you. And Athanasius said, if the whole world is against Christ, then Athanasius is against the world. And the Lord gave Athanasius the victory. And then we have the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, which now teaches most very clearly to all of us, Jesus is 100% God. And 100% man, fully God, fully man, in one person with two natures. All this because the Lord raised up such a man. Or else if the doctrine of Christ is corrupted, then we are still what? Still lost in our sin and no life at all. But we thank God the scriptures always stand and the truth will always stand. But the Lord is pleased to use men, men of faith, like Athanasius in church history, and men like Gideon. I don't care how big and great the armies of the world is. As long as I have God, and He is with me, because I know Him, and I'm for Him, I go by His word, I may be one or I may be few, victory is sure and certain. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the faith of Gideon. Do we have this kind of a faith? And then you have also the faith of Barak. And Barak lived in the days of Deborah, right? Deborah was also a judge, and she was also called a prophetess of the nation of Israel. God was speaking through her. And during those days, there was an attack from the northern Canaanites under Jabin and of Hazor, and then his general was Sisera. Now here we find the name Barak. Deborah is more famous, right? But Barak was mentioned. And sometimes we hear people talking about Barak in a negative way. Deborah is, you know, is the one who is faithful and courageous. And Barak we seldom hear. In fact, if he's mentioned, he is put in a negative light. Because Barak says, told Deborah, if you don't go with me, I also will not go. Meaning, you see, he's such a coward. If Deborah didn't come, I will also not go to battle. But here we find the Bible not speaking about Barak in a negative way, but in a very positive way. Look at the faith of Barak. So if the Bible doesn't say anything negative about Barak, neither should we. In fact, I believe Barak was a man of faith. And when he said those words to Deborah, if you will not go, I will also not go. It's not words of faithlessness or cowardice, but Barak, having a spiritual mind, he being a spiritual man, could see that the Lord had appointed and anointed this woman, Deborah. And the Lord is speaking through her. I must listen to her words. You see, that is faith. And he was a man. Deborah was a woman. All the more we see his faith. He was not envious. He was not jealous. He recognized God's authority. He recognized God's leadership. And the Lord at that time was pleased to appoint and anoint a woman, Deborah, a prophetess. And she takes the lead, giving to us God's wisdom, how we might go about defeating the enemies. And unless Deborah comes with me, I have the word of God with me, God's representative with me, God's spokesman, how can I succeed? I need you. You don't come, I can't go. I need God. That was the faith of Barak. So don't ever speak of Barak in a negative way. Those of us who have done so, I confess I did so in the past, but now no more. Lord, forgive me. When I go to heaven, I'll say, sorry, Barak. No, the Lord commended him. Mention his name, Barak. And so this tells us how in our ministry, a faithful ministry is such that we will not fight for power or position. There's no envy or strife. With spiritual eyes, we can see whom the Lord has gifted, whom the Lord appointed. And then we humble ourselves, and if the Lord has appointed someone to take the lead, and we see the Lord's hand upon him, we humbly submit to the will of the Lord instead of struggling for power, right? And for position. Just because I want to be number one. That is faithlessness. But faithfulness is such that we would recognize God's good hand and esteem others better than ourselves. Submit to the one whom God had anointed and appointed. And then follow his leadership. This was the case with Barak, and Barak needed God. He recognized that, and that's why he wanted Deborah to be with him. And for this reason, the Israelites were victorious and defeated Sisera, right, and his forces. So take note, this is what we can learn from Barak. And then we have Samson. The story of Samson is so well known. Read of him in chapters 13 to 16 of the book of Judges. And Samson was raised up to protect the Israelites from the Philistines. And what great exploits. I mean, he was endowed and gifted with superhuman strength, right? Superman of the Old Testament. And how we admire him, right? Samson with such superhuman strength to defeat, one man defeating the armies of the Philistines, withstanding, right, against them. But Samson, you know how he fell into sin, fell in love with an unbeliever, an idolatrous woman, Delilah, and how he compromised his faith, his secret of the secret of his strength, and finally he yielded and revealed the secret, which is in his hair, his long hair, which must not be cut away. He revealed the secret and he fell. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And he fell miserably. But why is he mentioned here, Samson? Well, the Lord did use him mightily. And Samson did not begin well, but he ended well. And after he lost his strength and was captured by the Philistines, how they tortured him, right? Dug out his eyes, he became blind. And then he was imprisoned, and they made sport of him. And then finally, when his hair grew back, and they wanted to, you know, make him into a spectacle, they brought him a time when they were having a religious festival. The Philistines were worshippers of the god Dagon. Bring out Samson. We want to have fun, all right, with him. He must be brought out so that he can entertain us. At that time, Samson, of course, he was looking back at his life. And now the power of God had departed from him. Surely he felt very sorry, very sorrowful. How foolish I was to do all these things, to indulge in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And now I'm useless. But you know, when you are contrite in your heart and you're sorry, and he confessed his sins before the Lord and repented and said, "Lord, if you will have mercy on me, please, for this last moment, give me the strength that I need to do your work, to fulfill your purpose for me in my life." And when he was brought out, and all the VIPs were there, eating and drinking. And Samson, the Lord used to pull the whole palace down, whole house down. And all the VIPs of the Philistines were all killed, destroyed. And yes, the Lord, and then Israel had peace from the Philistines. The Lord used him. And of course, in the final, at that moment, he sacrificed his life, right, to save the Israelites, and the Lord gave him his power back. So in Samson, we find someone who started out poorly, but ended very well for the Lord. And for this, he was commended. Because the Lord knows we are also men of flesh. And God forbid, of course, we are not, the Lord is not telling us, you can go also the way of Samson, right? Live out your life, enjoying the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes. And then the final moment, you know, you confess your sins and the Lord can use you and you will be a man of faith. Of course, the Lord is not telling us, go by this way. From faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. When you begin with faith, you end with faith. The Lord wants us to begin well and end well. In this case, Samson did not begin well, but because he ended well, he was commended. And it's better to end well, right? and be in heaven. Some people may begin well, but end badly. And that may, and if we begin well and end badly, it may be a sign of false faith. We begin well, we look like Christians, but in the end, we deny the Lord. It shows that we have false faith. If we don't begin well, because we thought we were Christians, but not, we thought we had faith, but we really didn't have faith. No power in our lives. And then in the end well, with great contrition of heart and humility, we confess our sins, believe on the Lord. The Lord at that moment can save us. That kind of faith is better. So Samson here was also commended. He was a man of faith. Of Samson and of Jephthah. Now, Jephthah was used of the Lord to fight against the Ammonites, another judge of Israel. And we read his story in Judges 11 and 12. Now, Jephthah was a son of a harlot, a son of a prostitute. And he was expelled from his father's house and later became a soldier of fortune. But he was a man of faith. He believed in the Lord. And later on, the Lord used him, right, to defend the nation of Israel against the Ammonites and his very own people who cast him out, invited him back. And he led them to victory by faith. And we know Jephthah for the vow that he had made to the Lord. And you know that vow with regard to his sacrifice to God. First thing he saw after victory, that would be offered to the Lord. And the first thing he saw was his beloved daughter. Now he made a vow. And this tells us of his faith. He was very serious with regard to the things of the Lord. And he wanted victory for the Lord. He wanted to do everything for the Lord. And so he made this vow. And I believe he kept this vow. Yes, he had to sacrifice his dear daughter unto the Lord, and the Lord was pleased to accept it. Human sacrifice is not necessarily wrong. It is wrong when you offer it to other gods. And that's why the Canaanite, the heathen nations, when they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, burn them in sacrifice to their idolatrous gods, it is an abomination unto the Lord. God hates it. Of course, God will judge for all these things. But if the Lord requires of us, our children, to be sacrificed to him, did not the Lord told Abraham, you sacrifice to me, your son and only son, Isaac, the son of promise. You offer him in sacrifice to me on Mount Moriah. Did Abraham argue, Lord, aren't you asking me to do something wrong? No, Abraham knew. What God says and God requires must be right. God cannot be wrong. And this human sacrifice, the sacrifice of his son, his only begotten son to God, the son that God promised him and gave to him, he willingly did it in holy service. If the Lord requires it and demands us to sacrifice our children unto him, it must be right because God cannot say or do anything wrong. In this case, the vow that he had made, the Lord required of him, his daughter. That was the first person he saw. And here his faith was commended. So take God and his word seriously, and whatever we vow to the Lord to do, make sure we do it. The Lord has no pleasure in any who make a vow and promise to him and don't keep it. And for us in the Far Eastern Bible College, we take an oath because we take God and His Word very seriously. If we are going to teach God's Word and equip men for the ministry, there are many who will be taught by them. We want to make sure they are giving the pure milk and pure meat of God's Word. They will have the right spirit in their training and right spirit in their preaching and their teaching and defending God's Word. And those of us in the board and faculty, to show how serious this whole matter of training men and women is, we take an oath. And it was instituted by the late founding principal, Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. Way back in the 70s, we had to take the Dean Bergen oath that we believe the Bible is none other than the voice of Him that sitteth upon the throne. Every book, every chapter, every verse, every word, every syllable, every letter is the direct utterance of God. Bible is none other than the Word of God, not some part of it more, some part of it less, but all alike the utterance of Him that sitteth upon the throne, faultless, unerring, supreme. So help me God. Every year we take that oath and we take it very seriously. And our conscience must be clear. And if there's any time I don't believe this, I don't believe that the Bible is 100% perfect, infallible, and without any mistake, and I've changed my position, then woe to me if I continue teaching. Then I'll be a hypocrite. Let's make sure that each one of us, on a yearly basis, make sure we continue to walk by faith and preach and teach and defend God's Word by faith, taking this vow. So Jephthah demonstrated his faith by keeping his vow. And the Lord commended him over here. Jephthah. And then David. Famous David. King after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. And he became the standard of all the kings of Israel. Whether kings followed after the good steps of David or not. And David was truly a man after God's own heart before he was a king and after he was a king. Before he was a king, you have Goliath. You remember the story of Goliath, how he defied the armies of the living God and blasphemed the name of God, and how David was filled with holy indignation. And this Goliath, this giant, must be dealt with. The men of Israel were all very afraid of this champion warrior, giant of a warrior of the Philistines. And David went up against him. You come with me with all your swords and your spears. I come to you in the name of the living God whom you have defied and blasphemed against. And the Lord, how the Lord used David. Just one small stone, and he threw. And the very first stone went right smack into the head of Goliath, and he fell. Yes, a little boy called David. And the Lord can use us, weak, frail instruments. We don't need heavy weaponry. We just need the Lord. If we have faith in Him, we can conquer, subdue kingdoms and nations. Just like David, a little boy, bring down mighty Goliath. And then also, he showed how he was a man of faith. When he was being pursued by Saul, the king. Saul was very jealous of David and wanted to kill him. And David, at the time, was already anointed king by Samuel. The Lord had already rejected Saul. But the faith of David was such that David never ran ahead of God. He was very patient. He waited on the Lord. And he did not seek to overthrow Saul. Saul was still king of Israel. And if Saul is to be removed from his royal seat, it is not for him, not for David to do so. Since God put him there, God must be the one to remove him. And God has not removed him yet. And that's why David David said, I cannot touch the Lord's anointed. He had such regard for God and his plan and his will. Whom the Lord had appointed to be king of Israel, it is for him to remove. Right? It's for God to remove Saul, not for me. And he showed also great deference and respect for Saul, even though Saul was a wicked king and was after his life. That was the kind of faith David had. The faith that even went to the extent of loving his enemy. This enemy that was after his life, he loved his enemy. And then also we find David, a man after God's own heart. Now, David was not perfect. He was also sinful, and there was a tragic occasion in his life when he backslided and then fell into sin, committing adultery with Bathsheba and later scheming to have her husband in the forefront, in the heat of battle, so that he would be killed to cover up his sin. And how Nathan the prophet came and said, you are the one, you are that man. And what did David do? David was a man after God's own heart, because when he was rebuked for his sin and his sin was exposed by the Lord and the Lord convicted him, you are the man, he never made any excuses, unlike Saul, always making excuses, trying to justify his sin, but David never. Immediately he says, I've sinned against the Lord. And quickly he confessed and repented. And if we have genuine faith, we are men and women of faith, when we are rebuked by God, when convicted of our sin, we will be like David, quick to confess and repent. Man after God's own heart will be very sensitive to the convicting work of the Spirit and will want to very quickly and immediately to get right with God. Are we such men and women of faith that will do this? And that's what David has taught us. And then we have Samuel. So we have four judges, one king, one prophet. Samuel was a prophet, and he was the one who anointed David to be king. And he was also the one dealing with King Saul for all his unbelief and apostasy. And how the Lord commanded Saul, you go and deal with the Amalekites for me and then spare nothing. Destroy everything. But Saul only obeyed the Lord partially. Partial obedience is disobedience, because he spared Agag. And then the best of the flock, right, he did not kill. The Lord says, destroy everything. He kept the best of the flock. And the Lord was very, very angry. And we see the faith of Samuel. The faith of Samuel was such that he was not a man pleaser. No matter who you are, without fear or favor, he will speak the word of the Lord without fear and favor of men. And we find him making a very important statement in 1 Samuel. You turn to 1 Samuel 15, which shows us the faith of Samuel. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. And here Samuel told Saul, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And you look at verse 22. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And you, Saul, you are a stiff-necked, stubborn man, and the Lord, full of iniquity, you have committed idolatry, and you still want to excuse yourself and justify yourself. you're going to be judged by the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you because you have rejected God's word. So Samuel was a man, was a prophet of obedience. That was his faith. And his faith was an obedient one. And his faith was a God-pleasing one, not a man-pleasing. He didn't care who Saul was. He may be king, but I will say what the Lord has told me to say. And Samuel was a very, very obedient prophet. That was why he was commended. Right? So you have Samuel. And then the rest of the prophets, and so many of them you can read in the Old Testament. Elijah, Elisha, right? And Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all these other prophets, how the Lord used them. And not only them, but the apostles of the New Testament. And so many examples. And are you an example? Will the Lord also say, yes, you are also one of the heroes of faith? Will you belong to the list of people who will be honored? In heaven, there'll be rewards, and the Lord will also say words of commendation to those who are faithful. Will we hear our Lord say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant? How we desire to hear this from Him. And we also have a story of faith to tell when we get to heaven. When we are fellowshipping with all the saints that have gone before. And not just those recorded in the scriptures, there are so many in church history. Those we even do not know, but quietly in their own lives, they manifest powerful faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have their stories to tell. Do you have your story? Do you have a story to tell about your faith in the Lord that will bring glory to Him? I pray each one of us will have a story to tell, to share when we get to heaven. Heaven will be, you know, a time not only of learning of God's word, studying, you know, knowing more and more of the Lord and what He has done for us, sitting at the feet of the apostles and the prophets. I mean, we will be having fellowship with them, and I believe they will be teaching us many things about the Lord and sharing many more things that the Lord had done throughout history and through them. Did not John says, if all the things that Jesus had taught and had done were to be recorded, I mean, the books of the world will not be able to contain, and that was only the life of Christ. But the Lord has done so many things in the 6,000 years of history that we have already. Things not recorded, many things to know, and how each one, every testimony of faith will bring glory to the Lord. Do you have such a testimony? If you don't have, better work on it right now, that your life is a life of faith. That when people would ask you about what you have done for the Lord, how have you lived your life for the Lord, you have a story to tell. Just like over here, Gideon, right? And Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, David and Sam, they all have a story to tell. Do you have? May we have this kind of faith, especially in these last days. And we are tried and tested, and we are victorious by faith. How wonderful and how blessed it is. I have a story to tell that will give glory to God, and you will praise Him for it. May each of us have such a story. The Lord is coming back very soon. Let us make sure we occupy till He come and live a life of faith in the little time we have left. The Lord may come in our generation, in our lifetime. Not much time left. How are we living our life for the Lord? I pray it may be a life of faith and live by faith. And it's only faith that pleases God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, please help us, we pray, to live by faith from beginning to end. We thank Thee for all these examples in the scriptures. how we might live a life that will please Thee and bring glory to Thy name. Help us, Lord, we pray. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith is the victory, our closing hymn.